Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe to iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
We're not. Far out.
Science has learned that all people possess mental powers which pass the boundaries of the natural.
Ghosts, Bigfoot, extraterrestrials,
Terra Hub Radio,
psychics, parapsychology, Loch Ness Monster,
Terra Hub Radio,
paranormal news, giveaways, open chat,
Terra Hub Radio,
classic rock, and paranormal talk, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, at parahub.org, bounceradio.net, and beastradio.com.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Since 1987, Mark Kimmel, author of Trillion, Decimal, and Creating the Cosmic Paradigm, has studied the messages provided by extraterrestrials. Utilizing disciplines learned during his business career, he avoids the sensational and fear-riddled perspectives that plague many who get trapped in the UFO and ET phenomena and the secrecy and misinformation surrounding it. By focusing on the messages from extraterrestrials in both his writing and speaking, Mark gets to the heart of the matter and presents an enlightened vision for the future of our planet. Unwilling to ignore the reality of our current devolution, Mark examines its causes and implications. The website is www.cosmicparadigm.com. I'll spell that for you. CosmicParadigm.
Mm-hmm.
So cosmicparadigm.com. We would like to welcome back Mark Kimmel to Ghostly Talk. Welcome back.
Hey, it's my great pleasure to be back here. You know, I remember one of the early interviews I did with you. There was lightning in the background.
We talked about this, all right. Go ahead, Mark.
And you were worried that the wire to the telephone out back wasn't going to make it. We had great fun.
It did make it through the interview. It did make it.
Yeah, but it was on the ground by the end of it. I think we were like totally going, we're so sorry. We know we suck. We're doing the best we can here. But you stuck through us with that whole show. So, Martin, you know, that made you like number one on our book after that show. Like
he
sat through this thing while we had phone lines coming down around us and lightning shooting all over the place. It was one heck of a night for a couple of guys.
As a matter of fact, I wonder if there's a theme to this, because that was the first time. The second time I think went uneventfully.
I don't want anything to go down tonight.
But you know, tonight, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern time, they changed it over from a storm watch to a storm warning, and we're going to get snow throughout the night, like literally a half a foot of snow or more. So I wonder if there's like a weather connection to this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe HAARP is in full effect.
Well, right? Hopefully it isn't as... We only got to get through an hour here.
Yeah. If we can make it through the hour.
If we can make it through here, I think we'll be okay. Go ahead.
When was that first interview?
That was
2003. Was it 2003? I think it may have been 2003.
Because we were still on
the old phone system.
We were in, which was just like essentially a speakerphone of sorts.
And
it's nowhere near as complex as we have now. But it was that, and we were in the haunted basement studio. So it was probably 2003.
It was 2003, yeah. I believe, Mark.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
fun. Boy, has a lot happened to both of us, huh?
It sounds
and
like
a lot
it.
Has happened out in the world, too.
Let's start with that. I know we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk about, but it has been a real long time since we've talked to you here on the show, Mark. And, you know, in a high level, what's been going on with you? What's been happening? I know you've been out on the road again doing your thing. What's been going on?
Well, what has happened for me is, I completed another book, which is the third book of the trilogy. The name of that book is One, Toward a Civilization of Light. And that's available, you know, bookstores and Amazon, and you can order it from that website, Cosmic Paradigm. So I completed that back in September. And then right after I completed that, all of a sudden I started getting messages directly from the ETs. And I post those at that Cosmic Paradigm site,
uh-huh.
and under something called Mark's Corner. So you can go there, and you know, there's a couple hundred pages at this point in time of all this information that's been downloaded to me. And we're talking, you know, this is coming in telepathically, and there are several different individuals from other star systems that are involved in doing this. And it's fascinating stuff, absolutely fascinating, because they're looking at our planet and they're saying, whoa, you guys are in a whole lot of trouble here. And, gee, you know, we went through this some time ago ourselves, and we're here to try to help.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the message that's coming through. Now, that's just the broad brush. We have got so much to talk about tonight. I don't know how we can possibly cover it in an hour.
I've accepted the fact that we won't. We won't get through all of it because we can never get it all in. An hour just can't do it that much justice, unfortunately.
Yeah, I expect we could probably go on for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, easy, because there is so much information here. So I'm not quite sure where to start, but let me start here and see how this goes, okay?
Yeah.
There is a male from Andromeda, and he has been on a starship up orbiting our planet now for about 50 years, and the name of his, he's from Andromeda, okay?
Okay.
And but now he's, you know, he's male, but he is not in physical form as we would know it. All right, so don't plan on waking up someday and shaking hands with Brenton.
Okay.
His name is Brenton, Bren-ton.
Okay.
And what he's talking about, first of all, let me give a little history as he understands it. And it's going to be different than anybody's getting in the history books in school. A lot different, okay? So what he's saying is that, look, 1 million years ago, our planet Earth was a pristine paradise. He's saying all the mammals, the fish, the birds, the insects, everything was in harmony. In fact, they were all vegetarians. Now,
okay.
there was no adverse bacteria, no viruses, no funguses, and all that type of thing. So everything was pretty much a paradise. And then there were four races of humans that were brought here from other planets, the black race, yellow, white, and red. And they came from four different star systems. They came here in something called the Starseed Project. And the idea was to bring these four races to this planet and let them go and intermingle and blend and take the best of all four races and come up with something that's completely new and different. Hadn't been done anywhere else in the galaxy before.
Okay. And it sounds very plausible, because what they're doing is they're saying, we're going to totally let these guys loose and Darwinize them until a couple million years from now, we're going to have the best of them all.
Exactly. That was the idea.
Yeah.
And so, and the four races that came here were, I mean, these were people that knew they had been brought here because they came on starships. And so they were not, you know, these were not primitive people. They had telepathy. They knew exactly who they were. They were very spiritual. They knew about God and celestials.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were probably about the same level of civilization as we might have thought of in this country maybe a couple hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then, so they're going along, and, you know, they're living the good life because, hey, they've been transported here to this pristine paradise. And then all of a sudden, a dark energy came to this planet and instilled in them fear. And it kind of goes back. You remember the third Star Wars episode where Anakin Skywalker goes and turns from this really, really interesting young man into Darth Vader?
Yeah.
And you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was all done with fear, okay? Fear and anger and hatred and all that dark stuff. Well, that's what's happened to our planet about a half million years ago. So this dark energy came here about a half million years ago and turned everybody into, you know, basically what we would think of as cavemen, mm-hmm. savages, and so on, and took away a bunch of our DNA, physically changed us, just like Anakin Skywalker got changed. It was done with fear, and the idea was, okay, the dark energy is going to come here along with some physical entities under its control, and it's going to take over.
Well, I think... Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Ask a question. Interrupt anytime.
Well, I mean... Well, the biblical story is not so much fear as desire.
Well, the thing with Star Wars, the idea in that third installment of Star Wars, Anakin's biggest fear was that he was going to lose everything he had. You know,
yeah.
Padme and the love he had and all these things. And
well, turns out he did.
Well,
so
yeah.
It didn't work out.
And what he was told was just that. They're like, look, in order to be a Jedi, okay, now we're not going to go too deep into this, but in order to be a Jedi, you must release all these fears of losing everything because you could. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt so strongly about that. And this really, really ties into living on this planet now and what you're talking about, Mark, because I know my fears every day, and what we've said this before, why do you go to work every day? Because your fear of losing your house. You don't want to lose your house, right?
Right.
You don't want to lose your car. You don't want to lose. You want to eat. You got to eat, right? There's all these things. And I know every day I'm out there, I fear everything. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about myself. I'm worried about my belongings, right? And this is what, you know, I know it's a big driving factor in my life. I don't know about you, Doug. I don't know about you, Bonnie. But I fear is, it sucks. It's no way to live, really.
And so I fear that it's still here.
It is. It's alive and well around us.
Is it a societal thing? Is it an external thing? Is fear, this dark matter itself, Mark, is that like an ET kind of what did
well,
it do?
It was a dark energy, very powerful,
mm-hmm.
powerful enough that what it did was to tilt the Earth.
Okay.
So we're talking about something that's really big, because up until that point in time, the Earth was sitting there vertical. It had a very nice, moderate climate for almost the entire Earth. And this dark energy came in and tilted the planet and created seasons. All right?
Okay.
Created the snow caps on the poles. Created your snowstorm that's coming in tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have really hated Michigan because we get you know, we're the winter wonderland here. If you want variety, you come to Michigan.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we found all four of them seasons.
Yeah.
Well, we had the snow last night, so you're getting it tonight.
Oh, thank
you. We sent it your direction. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Appreciate that.
Great idea.
Yeah, well, anytime, guys. Anytime. But no, we've all got, you know, everybody has a certain amount of this fear because it's endemic to this society in which we live. And the big thing is, except for media like yourself, you turn on the ordinary national media, and what's it full of? It's full of fear, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everything. I mean, the stock market's going down, the money's going to, you know, fall out of bed, the government's in trouble.
My favorite,
and then
the
all
health.
Of these episodes, everybody's, you know, shooting it up in the schools and all this terrible stuff going on, and the media just can't get enough of that.
Oh, and everything can kill you, yes.
Yeah.
Everything, it's all
well, and, yeah, and we have drugs that will cure you, you know, from all these terrible illnesses. Just think of one, and we can kill, you know, we can give you a drug for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we all have this fear, but 500,000 years ago, before this dark energy came here, we weren't like that. We were not. So the idea is that we are going to be going into a time of transition, and we're going to go back the way it used to be. That's what I'm getting.
Is this around, and this is totally cliche, but I got to throw it out there, is this going to be around 2012? I mean, it begs to be asked, Mark, because we've been hearing these rumblings from all types of different people saying, you know, 2012 isn't going to be the end, or we're not all going to die, but we are going to go through a change, right? Have you been getting any of that as far as that time, that year, I guess?
Except that I've been getting the idea that it's this year.
Ooh.
Really?
Because if you, depending upon which calendar you compare with the 2012, you know, the Mayan calendar,
mm-hmm.
and depending upon how you translate that calendar, it can be anywhere from this year out to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the information I'm getting is that 2012, we're already here. We're in it. And then there's the whole concept, and I'm sure you've encountered this before, that time is speeding up. it's not the same as it used to be. And everybody I talk to says, I just don't have as much time as I used to. I don't know where my week is going. I don't know where my day is going. I can't get as much done as I used to.
Well, Mark, I feel like I'm in a race all the time.
I
feel like, especially at this point, I mean, right as we're talking right now, I have things in, set in motion around me that I feel like I am in a race against time. That if I don't do something or act on what my life is telling me to do right now, then I'm going to blow it somehow. I don't know why I'm getting that, but I feel, and Doug, you're familiar with this. But I feel like I'm in a race, that I feel like I am racing. I can't even really explain it any other way. I feel like every minute of my day has to be dedicated to certain tasks to get me where I need to go. And I feel the same way. I look at the clock and I'm like, my God, 5 hours went by. Where the hell did it go?
That's it. See, so what we're being told is we now have really effectively 11 hours in our day rather than 24.
Really?
And that's part of the 2012 effect.
Do you know, I've noticed an interesting thing, because when Bonnie and I just, we had taken a little trip down to Florida for a weekend, and when we're wandering around without the schedules, without the time clocks, the punch in and punch out day to day, you've got to pick this up from the store, and then you have to be here, and then do this, and then people expect you to do this and expect you to pick up that and expect, you know, all these expectations and the day-to-day everything. When you don't have that, when you're on vacation, time does kind of slow down.
Yes,
because
it does.
You just wander around without all the expectations. I wonder what society was like when they dropped the four races off and you know, they had things to do. They had to build structures or learn about about their new planet, and they had things to do, but I guess they just weren't in a punch in, punch out kind of society at that time.
Well, they didn't, if you stop and think about it, they didn't have the seasons, okay?
Well, that's true.
And every day was kind of like the same, and so they got lulled into, you know, hey, this is kind of like living in Florida, and I just got back from Costa Rica. You know, it's kind of like in these tropical paradises. And so that was their existence. And, you know, they had all the fruit and vegetables and all that kind of stuff provided for them, so they didn't have a lot of the stresses we have.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a pretty interesting existence, okay? But the reason we wound up with the stress is because we had imposed upon us certain structures and certain beliefs. Because, you know, all of a sudden here come these guys descending in spaceships, and they don't look human anymore. And, oh, God, they must be a god of some sort. My gosh, they're superior because they're telling us they're superior. So if you go back and you look at the carvings like on the Egyptian tombs and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
There's these tall guys, and they've got these funny looking heads and so on.
Right.
That's what showed up.
Well, there's this.
Okay.
There's this. I think there's something that he said also. I mean, and this what you're describing here, Mark, is the high ground. When you have to look up to something. And this is the basis for a lot of religious belief, I think. You know, and you're talking about the Egyptians, when they, you know, and they, you see these carvings of all these things, they show pictures of all these things up in the sky. And these people, they have to look up to see whatever it may be that's coming down to them, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's something, if you are and I use the term primitive very loosely right now, but if you were a primitive person and you're bound to the earth, you do your things here, you couldn't even... much less jumping a little bit. I mean, that's the only air you're going to get. And you see this thing coming down from the sky, right, down on you. It would be a bit of a humbling thing where you would, like you just said, where you would say, oh, my goodness, these are gods. We have to worship these things. That's something that I think people neglect that, you know, why would you worship this thing? Just because it's coming out of the sky, why would you look to this thing and go, well, you have the answers. Give me the answer. I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll worship you, whatever it may be. It's something interesting to think about.
So that's where all the old gods came from. You know, the old Greek gods and the Roman gods and the Egyptian gods and Babylonia, and even before that, going way, way, way back, okay? And some of the oldest stuff we've got are the Vedic teachings that come out of India, mm-hmm. and some of their history, recorded history, is like 100,000 years old. So, you know, all this stuff goes back there, and you're right. It's like, we're the gods. We've got technology you don't have, so therefore you better worship us. And that was the origin of religion. So that's one of the structures that got imposed. And then, hey, we're more powerful than you. So therefore there's another structure. All of a sudden, you've got the government, and you've got the military, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so these are structures, but see, our original ancestors, they didn't have any of this. They didn't have any of this. So where we're headed at this moment is back, we're getting rid of the bad guys, and we're headed back to this pristine type of existence. That's where we're going.
Well,
and we're going to get there very quickly.
I've often kidded myself about this. I have to mention this, Mark, because it's a funny thought. And it goes through my mind. Like, you know, I have a regular car, right? And nothing special, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure perception is everything. So one person might think it's amazing, another person might think it's a piece of crap. Whatever, it's just a regular car. But I've often thought of myself, like, you know, if I was able, like, in my car, like Back to the Future or something, you know, where I could go back in time with my car and go to, like, the old Southwest or something like that. And if I'm, like, if I was cruising down a road in the old Southwest, right, with my regular silver car, right, and some cowboy comes trotting by and sees this car, he's going to absolutely freak. If you think about it. I mean, and this isn't that long ago, right? But he's going to totally freak out and go, what is this machine you have? Well, this is an automobile.
It's an iron horse. Oh, no.
Well, they're going to give it all kinds of weird names. But I'm like, yeah. No, it's an automobile. It's got a radio, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff I can do in here, you know? But they never saw anything like that back then. And it's the same kind of idea, though, is what we're talking about, Mark, where they would totally be blown away by that.
What we would consider the indigenous people, the aborigines, that kind of people, when they first saw the first airplane come flying over. It's like, what is that? That must be a god. You know,
yeah.
We worship that.
And that's in present day. I mean, that happened now.
Or the Indians, when the explorers showed up, you know, they thought, hey, they got horses and they got ships and what's all this? So that's what happened to our ancestors back there, and that set the stage for all the stuff you're talking about, which is the fear-based, the stress-based, and all of that, because if we're in a state of fear, then we're really controllable.
Oh, absolutely. Why don't we take it
being controllable. Time-based.
let's take a break here, though, because I think it's a good chance. Let's bookmark it right there.
Yeah, because the next half hour, we want to talk about what we do now that we know the basis, what we do now, and Mark said, you said, it's going to happen,
right.
It's going to happen soon. And so we want to know what's going to happen and what's going to happen soon. So we'll find that out after this independent music break.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes. Not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that. Actually see it with my own eyes, captured on camera. Hear something weird or something like that.
Thank you. feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Website.
That's creepy. Hellmouth.
Oh, really? Awesome. The
Buddy Jeff's band. They're awesome.
The website.
So keep talking, Mark, Doug. Go right ahead.
Of Mark Kimmel, our guest, is www.cosmicparadigm.com.
Yeah.
And I urge you to go there and see all the stuff he's putting up. He says he puts up the communications he receives in the Mark's Corner blog, and it's... definitely something to check out.
We've been talking about the
history
of
the world, actually.
Essentially, yeah.
And
pretty big topic.
How we got here, but we're up to what's going to happen now. I mean, we mentioned 2012, and based on all the calendars and the modifications, because face it, back in the olden days, an emperor could just decree, oh, there is no July 12th. this year, and there you go. It just didn't happen that year, and then
yeah.
So the calendars get a little screwed up. So our basis of 2012 and what the actual 2012 that from millions of years ago would have been could be skewed, and perhaps it's this year.
Yeah.
So Mark is trying to get our heads around all of these. All the stuff that's going on.
What's
going
to happen to us? You know,
yeah.
We're going
yeah.
This change.
Well, I want to throw out one other thing for you to think about and for your listeners to think about. And that's this. Are you aware that the moon is an artificial satellite?
No. I thought it was a thing that happened to be roaming around and then either something crashed into the Earth.
Yeah, and knocked
and
off our planet.
And then it just sort of got caught in our cosmic pole or whatever. That's what I thought.
Do you know about the structures on the backside of the moon?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, all right. The Disclosure Project had some witnesses, and two of these witnesses saw photographs of structures on the backside of the moon. Now, these are not ordinary structures. These are huge structures. Some of them could be a mile in height, huge structures. And so I now know two people who saw those photographs.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
And that was, those photographs were taken at the time of the lunar lander. You know, what was that, 1960-something?
Yeah, and what's interesting is where everybody's talking about the face on Mars and what's around there when maybe a little bit closer to home. Is what we should be looking at.
There's these structures on the backside of the moon. And, you know, so that's one more thing that has been covered up. One more thing that's been covered up. So I am being told, and I'm not the only one that has this information, that the moon is an artificial satellite. And it was put into place at the time the dark energy came here about 500,000 years ago.
Wow.
Well, doesn't that just absolutely blow your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, it totally blows my mind. It's an artificial satellite.
Yeah, because you're looking up there, and it looks like a big chunk of rock.
Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to go and have an observation platform to watch what your little experiment was doing down here on Earth, and to support your people that were here, the bad guys, if you want to call them that, okay, what better place to do it from within an artificial satellite up there in the sky?
And there's nothing you can do about it, essentially.
And that's interesting because they did a similar thing in one of the Star Trek series. They had people watching primitive races, but what they would do is they would create a hologram of a mountain.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Or
yeah,
a mountainside, and they'd just put a base unit in there and watch folks. And,
sure.
It really, now it's not a far-fetched idea. It really could be a wonderful place to watch the Earth from. It's going around every single day.
And we can't get rid of it.
Right.
So they did it. They went and set off an explosion on the moon, and it rang like a bell.
Wow. And
so
it
that
would
shows
if it
you,
were
yeah.
a platform, if it were
Yeah, it's artificial. An artificial, and it was made to look, you know, like a chunk of rock up there so as to not disturb the primitive peoples.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, Mark, we've had people go there.
Yeah.
As far as we know, we've had people from our planet. Go
and
there.
they took the pictures.
Okay, and from what they said, they're like, oh, it's just well, I mean, I guess it could be cleverly disguised though on the outside. Still, I mean, you know, look, it's nothing but space dust out here. It's nothing. It's
just, how do you know what they really found?
Good point.
Right.
Well, I guess what I'm alluding to that, like, you know, as far as we know, we've actually been.
But here. look at the even Area 51, because we've seen pictures of Area 51 from the outside. It looks like a parking lot. But on the inside, it goes deep in the ground, and you have no clue what's under there. I mean, it's very, very well concealed, you know.
Just throw that out, you know, for everybody to think about. That tells you the depth of the misinformation that we have been getting for all these years, and all of the structures and the beliefs and everything that we've got going here, and how, you know, how the truth has been covered up over and over and over again. So, you know, you look outside and you wonder, what's real?
Well, I've been saying that for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
What the heck, you know, and that's a stressful thing, Mark. I think you know what I'm talking about. I've had this discussion with so many people, and it always comes down to, you know, when you feel like you're somewhat enlightened about something, unfortunately, I was born with a standard issue BS detector built into my system by my father. And, you know, when you're going around all the time and you don't know what to believe, you don't know who to trust, it is hard on you. It's a hard life to live. It's stressful. And things just like that, you know, I mean, if I were just to believe everything, again, I'm not making any points or opinions on this right now, but if I was just to believe for face value that, yes, we have sent rockets up to the moon, yes, real people have been there, they've taken real photos, we've actually been there, we have the proof right here, NASA says it's real, so I gotta believe that, right? On the other hand, though,
Have you seen the photos of the moon landing where the shadows are coming from two different directions?
Yeah, we've seen these things. I mean, and again,
so that makes you wonder, right?
It makes you wonder. Yeah.
It makes you wonder how much of that was staged.
I wonder.
The astronauts that were there on the moon, they come back and they don't talk much.
Well, that, I mean, and as we know, there's always this race between technology and our nations. We're always, and that was one of the ideas, I guess, is that, well, look, these guys are ahead of us. We have to do something we have to get ahead of them at all costs, right? We've seen how that's worked for us in the past. We've lost lives as a result of that, I mean, as far as we know, right? We've lost lives as far as that. But that could lead credence to this, and I hate to use the term conspiracy theory, but I'm going to, that, you know, we've never actually been to the moon, but we've made the appearance just to save face, because God forbid United States of America ever is going to be second in something. So,
or maybe try this on for a second.
Yeah.
Maybe we got to the moon and we didn't find there what we expected to find there, and so we had to conjure up this make-believe thing to make people understand or to make people think that we found what they thought we were supposed to find there, when in reality we found something whole lot different. Like the big structures on the backside of the moon.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
How do you explain that?
How do you explain that? It's easier to say, yeah, we just got some dust here and, you know, cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty much like it's not green cheese, but it is a bunch of moon dust, and that's what you expected, and there you go, and enjoy. Meanwhile, in the depths of government buildings behind closed doors, they're like, holy cow, what are we going to do?
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So that just shows you the depth of what we're dealing with.
Question from the chat room here. I'm going to throw this out. Our buddy Homie had something he wanted to ask you. Stupid scrolling thing. Why does it do that to me? Can Mark explain can Mark explain the many people with clairvoyant abilities and visitations from ghost spirits and what evidence does... What evidence does he have to state the things he does? Okay, so I guess the first part of the question is why people who are clairvoyants, I guess, I hate this stupid thing. I can't read the thing. It keeps scrolling back and forth. people with clairvoyant abilities, why they have visitations from ghosts and spirits.
And then what evidence
to
support your communications to with the extraterrestrials.
Let's get into that.
Let me take a stab at that.
Okay.
First of all, I'm putting this stuff out there, and I'm not asking anybody to believe what I'm saying. All right?
Okay.
I'm putting it out there. It's my understanding of my truth and what I'm getting. And that's the same thing that any clairvoyant, any intuitive, all of us, any person who's getting these telepathic messages, we all have to do the same thing. We simply say, look, this is what I'm getting. I'll give it to you. You can make out of it whatever you want to make out of it. I would encourage anybody not to just take what I'm saying at face value. Go do some research. For instance, there are three or four other published places you can go to find out that the moon is not a natural phenomenon, that it's an artificial satellite, that there are structures on the backside of the moon. I'm not the only one out there saying that. So there's some corroboration, if you will, of what I'm saying.
Okay.
The stuff about the history of the Earth, you can go and find some of this in other places. So I'm not the only voice out there saying this kind of stuff. I happen to have a little bit of different information as to how it happened than the other people do. And that's the information I've been given. But how do you corroborate this stuff? You know, how do you find evidence? Hey, we all believe in God, but I never have seen him.
And that's we say the same thing here, too. I mean... all this information, including the stuff we're talking about with you, we tell people all the time, look, you know, you may not believe it, but just take it for where it is.
Right.
And if
it
you
means
want to go
something
deeper,
to me, and it might mean something to you if you think about it and research it.
Yeah.
What would mean something to me is if we went ahead, and because you were saying at the beginning and throughout the whole hour so far, that we need to stop this devolution, the de-evolution,
devolution.
The going backwards and ruining the place. And it can become a utopia again. It can be that this Earth is as...
My
as
question for that is, are we
polluted and horrible as it is?
Are we past that point where we can go back? That's what I'm concerned about.
Right. How can we live as if it were already pristine again and take part in this change for the better?
Okay. Well, let's go there. Now, we have been trying as a species to do the right thing for, you know, we first of all, we have crawled back out of this primitive thing little by little, year by year, century by century, to where we now have civilization, whatever that means, okay? I kind of like the idea of flush toilets and computers and things like that. They're kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay? And I, for one, don't really want to do without those. But at the same time, we've really done a number on this planet. We're putting the old planet down the tubes.
Yeah.
So can we do it? And the answer, my answer is we've been trying to go and do the right thing for a long time, and it's like two steps forward, three steps back, steps forward, one step back. You know, my answer is we're not going to do it by ourselves. So here's what I've been told is that, look, there is an armada. That means a lot of. starships up there. Now they're in orbit about the planet. There's a whole bunch of them. There's about several million beings on these starships, and they are ready to come here and help us because we're not going to get it done by ourselves. And so when I talk about Brenton, he's on a starship. He's been up there for 50 years watching what's going on. They have been sending very positive energy down here, which is making a big difference. It really has been helping us. And there are now other starships that have shown up from other civilizations to where we have an entire armada of starships up there.
Mm. Well,
and they are now, and that's part of this 2012, the transition time.
Mm-hmm.
They are prepared to come here and help. And what they're telling us is they're going to go and create a level playing field. Now, to me, that says a level playing field. That means we get to go and start calling the shots instead of having people who we think are superior and who think they are superior, plus a number of these dark beings that are here behind the scenes kind of calling the shots and who have the ability to shift into human form. They have been calling the shots for the last 500,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to get a level playing field, which means us ordinary human beings are going to get to start constructing a new society.
This is a huge, huge change we're, talking about.
Well, you know what's interesting is there's these changes.
It's cataclysmic.
There are, and I've seen threads of that happening because I've read Trillian and Decimal, right?
Yeah.
One of the most powerful people in one of those books, or maybe both, was the one fellow from, I think, Chicago, who was a newspaper and media magnate, right? Just in charge of all, and gave the yays and nays on everything that was put, you know, on the people's breakfast tables in the form of a newspaper or out on the radio, and this media magnate was just like super duper powerful. Well, what's happening now is if you look at something, I remember when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s when GM was literally the single most powerful company on earth. It was a bigger employer than the government. Right now the government's the biggest employer, but GM was a bigger employer than the government. And we still had Ford and Chrysler still at the time. So it was a we still have them now in various shapes and sizes. But GM was just super powerful, and that is just not true anymore. They're out at the government going, please, may I have some more?
We need money.
And the same thing with Chrysler, another huge, powerful company, and it's gone through a lot of bumps and bruises. These are powerful, powerful people, powerful companies.
They're being neutralized as we speak. They have been neutralized.
And now, Mark, this goes directly with Trillian and Decimal. The papers, newspapers, are filing bankruptcy. I heard that through the week this week. This and that newspaper is going under. This and that newspaper is going under. And I'm thinking, or not going under. They're filing bankruptcy protection. You know, I mean, obviously it's a process.
Well, they're going out of. They're going completely out of business. The one in Denver went completely out of business. The one in Seattle went completely out of business.
Yeah,
stopped publishing. Yeah.
This is big. This is a huge change. And it is something I never in a million years would have expected.
So this idea maybe that, you know, all these things we're going through, the economic issues.
Well, I'm wondering
because there are things
that
are happening that I never thought in my life I'd see. I never thought I would see a company that my dad worked for 43 years, my grandfather worked for 30 years, who've been, you know, feeding my family, and very well on my dad, for almost over 70 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Come to someone with their hands out.
Delisted. Or being delisted off, or not delisted, but being
that's
taken out of
the
Dow.
Yeah.
They're going to kick GM off
the
Dow Industrials.
Yes, there is no longer going to be a blue chip. Did I ever in a million years think that was going to happen? No, there's no way. Nobody could have predicted that. Is there something going on that's causing these really, really, this is drastic changes happening now in our economic and power structures? I mean, these are drastic, big, big changes.
And so what's going on behind the scenes is that we have some ETs that are in human form calling the shots.
Wow.
And they're just having a great old time, you know, installing more fear, because that's what keeps them going, is they live off the fear.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. They love it.
But at the same time, this is tying into this change we might be going through, though, too. We're leveling the playing field,
I think that at the same time of instilling fear, the playing fields are becoming more level. Because 20 years ago, if you started up a Tesla Motors, it would have been laughed off the planet.
Yeah.
Right? And people did. The DeLoreans got laughed off. The
Hudson.
So many things got laughed off. You just could not...
compete with
these humongous conglomerates. And if you started up a paper, that would have been really cute. You know, oh, what a cute little paper. But it wouldn't have ever been like a Chicago Tribune or a Wall Street Journal or a humongous conglomerate magnate kind of paper. It just wouldn't happen. And now you can. You can start something up because you're... They're humbled now, I think.
Yeah.
We are in the change. We're going through it right now. And that's what's described. You know, I wrote this book the third book of the trilogy. There's trillion, decimal, and now one. The third book of the trilogy has all of this in it, and I wrote it 2 years ago.
I have to read that one. I've read trillion and decimal.
Send me an email. Get me an email with an address, and I'll get you a copy of one up.
Okay. Because it's very interesting, because this is
this is on both sides of the playing field. We've talked about how things will be neutralized, but be leveled out for the good of us. But
at
the same time, this is a scary thing, too, that, well, look, it's affecting all of us. Yeah, it's affecting me personally.
Oh, I'm sure anything worthwhile has growing pains, though.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. I like to think I'm one of those people that have vision. I always talk about it here on this show, how we should think further than our noses, right?
I think there's only like 2 minutes left or one. I think what we need to do, Mark, because there's no way we're going to get through all of you.
Sucks.
You're right.
You're right. What we've got to talk about now is I have some very specific advice for people as to how to prepare themselves for this transition.
We're going
to
bring Mark
because
on,
it's going to be very, very tough.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then we got to go and give people what it looks like on the other side, because we haven't even talked about that.
I know.
And I have very specific indications of what exactly it looks like on the other side. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But we're going to have to go through a tough time, much tougher than what we're going through right now.
We have to do a part two.
We're going to. Mark, we were talking on the break, actually, about this, and Mark and I were discussing this, and probably a couple months from now.
Okay.
We're going to have Mark.
Whenever you want to do it.
Yeah,
I'm around.
We'll work it out this week. We'll fire some emails back and forth, and we'll hammer down a date, you know, and time and all that fun stuff.
Yeah,
but definitely, we need to continue with this.
But what's interesting is what came out of your mind or off of your typewriter or out of your word processor, however you did, at least trillion and decimal, because I read those like cover to cover. I was just, woo, you know. I'm sorry, I'm not good at sound effects. But the whatever happened, it really, the characters in those books, because those are squarely fictional books, yet...
So-called fiction.
So incredibly happening and real that, you know, there's you got to pick them up because they're very applicable to today and what's going on. And those books, I mean, I just can see it now.
Here's the thing, though, Doug. This is so interesting that this... Because this is a really weird kind of thing we got going here. We spent the first 2 hours of this show yelling about the difference between reality and fiction.
Right.
Right?
And now we're talking about fiction that is...
Based on reality.
More than reality.
How we're thinking, you know, look, it's entertainment. Deal with it, you know. Just don't take it for what, you know. But now this is a completely different situation. So, you know
what?
The
opposite.
We stepped on our own toes in one show. A first. Right here.
No,
congratulations. We've done this.
Probably not a first, though.
No, but it's true. I mean, hey, that kind of is a testament to what this show is about, though. You know, there's so many weird ideas out there, and how they're taken and what context they may come in may change the complete outcome.
Well, these books, at least showing you this one. Now, one, I've got to get my hands on that.
Yeah.
But they literally sent shivers up and down your spine now. Considering they were written, you know, what, 5 years ago? I think Trillium was written
five 2002 was published.
Yeah, so seven, wow, 7 years ago. And then a couple years or a year or two after that was Deathmon. And they'll send shivers up and down your spine. You will recognize the characters in the book. Now, the characters represent, they could represent a company, they could represent a government, they could represent the, but they really have applicable, or a person, the applicable meaning right now, especially now. It's really weird.
Yeah.
And one takes it to a whole new level. It will just absolutely blow you away.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
To be continued, Mark.
We have to.
I'm so sorry. We at least
look at what it is on the other side. Look at preparing.
We gotta do this. Yeah.
Wow, it's a lot of work to do. And meanwhile, I want people to go to www.cosmicparadigm.com and see what Mark's been up to. And
totally, Mark, hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet. Okay.
Okay.
We have to do a part two.
Okay, absolutely. I'm just looking at something else that's broken. Broken. I'll fix that later.
Oh, everything's broken.
Everything's broken here. Mark, hang tight on the line first. We have to close this show out. Doug, what's up?
Okay, we have to thank Mark Kimmel for coming on CosmicParadigm.
Great talking to him again. Yeah.
Of course, Tamara Thorne. Wow, at TamaraThorne.com. What an incredible hour. And of course, before that.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know what the heck happened.
Well, before that, we alienated half of our listening audience. That's what we
always
do.
Yes, and we apologize. But thank you, everyone, for writing in, especially those two amazing counterpoints that we got to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be doing a show next week because next week is Easter Sunday. Happy, happy Easter. And then we'll be back in the haunted Warren Winery for a string of shows, finally.
Well, yeah, we'll actually go on a regular broadcasting schedule again.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what that's like. Hopefully we'll work Mark Kimmel into that because we didn't even get to what we can do to prepare and what it's going to look like after all that, after the change. But I'm telling you, the change is happening now. So, meanwhile, we're going to change this show out, get on to the next show on your programming schedule. And this has been Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
See you guys next week.